So I've been doing on his voice, and this is part four. And I just want to say that last week we had some technical difficulties, so we were not able to do a video recording of part three. So if someone is watching this on YouTube or whatever, we did have an audio recording of it, and that can be found on our website, www.klci.org. So you can go back to that and on the website and listen to the audio recording. But just a brief view of what I talked about was, I was talking about discerning his voice. And one of the reasons I think people avoid sitting quietly with the Lord is because a lot of times what happens is a lot of negative talk will start going on. You know, you're not good enough. What did you do last week? You know, God's not pleased with you. You sit down to invest time with the Lord, and the enemy doesn't want you to do that. So he's going to try to make it as uncomfortable for you as possible. And one of the things he's going to do is his quote that he's God and tell you how rotten you are. And I gave an example of for myself that I was investing time with the Lord, I thought, and then all this negativity was going on. And I literally heard the Holy Spirit go, shh. And he stopped those voices and he was like, that is not my voice. And remember that the Lord's voice, right, is going to be encouraging, exhorting. He's going to remind you of who you are. And yes, there's times of correction, but his correction always inspires you to live at a greater level in him. Okay, so he will correct, but his correct is inspirational. It exhorts you towards who you are. And if you're hearing guilt, condemnation, and shame, that is not the voice of the Lord, okay? Because he took all that. Guilt says I'm not forgiven. Condemnation says I'm worthy of judgment. And shame says it's still who I am. And none of those are true in Christ because his blood has washed us clean. The other thing I talked about was just the fact that God talks to us in a multitude of ways. And just as Jesus talked a lot from parables using natural things and nature and things like that to communicate spiritual truths to us. And I believe he did that because that the Father communicated to him that way. So throughout the day, you can look for your God winks. Okay, and it can be, you know, seeing things in nature, seeing an animal. We talked about like butterflies or certain dreams you may have, visions you have. We talked about times on a clock and point to scripture. So it's just know that God's communicating to you throughout the day. We just need to be paying attention. If we're not paying attention, we won't see it. But it's important for us to keep looking. So one of the other things I wanted to mentioned too was I had talked about how when you get quiet with the Lord, the quietness, you can finally hear your own voice. Because the world from the time you're a child, right, is inundating you with telling you who you are or who you should be or what you should be. And it's inundating you with all those voices. And it's not until we get into the presence of the Lord and sit still that we can really begin to hear his voice, but also our own voice. Another place we can find his voice and our voice, obviously, is in scripture. And I think a lot of times people don't think about the fact that you can find your voice in there. So even like in the Psalms, you know, David will talk about challenges he's going through and, oh, Lord, how long is it going to take you to show up because all my enemies are against me? And so that can be, maybe you're going through a difficult time and you're reading a psalm and it can speak to you as far as like what you're feeling right at that time. And then you can also see like always David would go to exalting the Lord at the end of his psalms. So it's just remembering that you can find your voice in scripture as well. And one of the ways I do this too is like through Song of Songs. It can be, to me, this is a beautiful expression of my voice and the Lord's voice. And so I'll read this as a dialogue between him and I. And if you remember, at the women's retreat, we did this where I did the voice of the shepherd, of the bridegroom, Jesus, and Amy did the voice of the bride. But like, for example, in Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Jerusalem maidens, this is the Shulamite speaking, Jerusalem maidens, in this twilight darkness, I know I am so unworthy, so in need. Anybody ever feel that way? But what's Jesus' response? The Lord's response, yet you are so lovely or handsome. And then she says, I feel as dark and dry as the desert tents of the wandering nomads. Anybody ever feel that way? But what does he say to her? Yet you are so lovely, like the fine linen tapestry hanging in the holy place. So this is a way of coming to a place of finding your voice and his voice in here. I don't have the scriptures up, but in chapter 5, there's a beautiful verses about what she feels about him, how he inspires her, and how beautiful he is to her. And again, that can be your voice, right? You're finding your voice and your heart towards the Lord. When we did the wedding ceremony at the women's retreat, they first said that we're going to do vows, right, before Jesus. At the women's retreat, we had like a wedding. And each one of us went before the Lord to say our vows. And when I first heard we were going to do that, first was like, oh my gracious, what am I going to say? Right? But what I did is I kept Song of Songs and I found my voice in here. And this is what I said to him, was what the voice that I have in here. So this is a great place to find his voice and also your voice in scripture. So today I wanted to talk more about stewarding the voice of God. Because if we're gonna invest time with him, it's really important to steward what he's bringing to us. And so if we look at Psalm 25:14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." In the Passion Translation, it says, "There is a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises." So when we decide to invest time with the Lord, to set time aside, he's going to begin to open up scripture to us. And so what are we going to do with that, what he shows us? How are we going to, he's entrusting, that he wants to show you things. He wants to open things. He's not hiding things from you. He's drawing you to him so that he can reveal truths to you, but he also wants to raise you up so that you can carry those truths. Okay, and these mysteries that he wants to open up. But so we're responsible, I don't want to say responsible because that kind of puts a heaviness on it, but we have the privilege of, as he opens things up to us, to steward what it is he's sharing with us, and because he's giving it to us for a purpose, and how are we going to watch over that? In Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." And we are kings and priests in the kingdom. So we have the privilege of investing time with the Lord, looking at scripture, investing time with him, and praying and meditating on what he's given us and allowing him to open this up. So one way that I do this, and I would encourage people to do, is to keep a journal. To keep a journal, because that's a way of stewarding watching over what he's given you and documenting what he gives to you. So I want to first start out just with I know some people do personal journals with writing. I think way faster than I can write, so I don't do that. And I have a bunch of books that were journals for years, and it's really hard to find things in there. So what I do it on my computer on a Word document. I have a journal. And so this is this isn't what I wrote, obviously, but I have a personal journal. It's in a Word document. And at the beginning of my journal, I have entries that I want to keep before me, perhaps quotes from books, specific scriptures, or things the Lord has spoken to me. And right now, there's a prophetic word that I had gotten back in 2013. And just a few weeks ago, he had me put that in the beginning of this journal so that whenever I open the Word document up, right, that stuff is right in front of me. So I look at that, I look over. Those are things that I keep before me all the time. But then what I do next is I put in the date. So for today, Sunday, October 16th, I usually bold that just so I can pick the dates out easier. And in brackets, I type my thoughts, questions, or insights. So those are things that I'm just saying, maybe a question I have for the Lord, maybe a scripture that I'm meditating on, or some things that I was just thinking. I put that in brackets. And then I'll just wait on him. And when I feel like I'm hearing what his response is, I put that in quotation marks. So then I type what I hear the Lord telling me with quotation marks. And then I'll go ahead and do brackets for what my response may be or my questions may be. And then I type with quotation marks his response to me. You could do other things. You could do whatever he says in red, right? That would highlight it. But the other thing I like about doing it in a Word document is that if I want to search on something that I know he said to me in the past, I can do a search within a Word document. Trying to go through old journals, written journals, is really hard. So I can search within the document. moment to find things that he's that I'm trying to bring back to remembrance. I'm going to save you a lot of time, and I don't know why I did it this way, but when I first started my journal, like, okay, so this was October 16th, and the next time I would put October 17th and October 18th, whatever. But then every time I went to do go into my journal, I had to scroll all the way to the bottom of the document. So my suggestion is put the most recent date at the top, and the oldest is at the bottom. It took me years to figure that out. And one day I'm just like, I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling to get to it. I'm like, why am I doing it this way? So I redid my whole journal so that the most recent one is at the top. And I don't journal every day, but I probably several times a week. So usually when I go to invest time with the Lord, I'll bring my computer up. I go ahead and bring up some good soaking music, and I put that on, and then I'll do whatever I'm doing, reading or whatever, and then when I start a dialogue with the Lord, I'll go ahead and type it. And the thing is not everything that I hear do I put down, but just there's times when you're really impressed that what he's communicating to you, you really need to want to steward, and so I'll go ahead and enter that into my journal. So you can you can ask him for scripture verses. You say, Lord, what do you want to talk to me about today? So you can just say, Lord, here I am. Type out, Lord, here I am. What is it you'd like to say to me today? And then just wait. Wait and see what he starts communicating to you. The big thing is about listening. And when he's talking, like you're the listener and he's the transcriber. You're just sitting there waiting on him and waiting for him to speak to you. Now, there's different kinds of journals too. Like this is a personal journal. You can have a journal of divine visions and dreams maybe he's given you. You can do a journal of prophetic words that you've received. I have a prophetic words, but they're all kind of in a booklet binder with cards and things like that. I'd love to at some point put them into a Word document. Scriptures he's given you, you could do one of answered prayers. We were talking about that yesterday at the women's meeting, that it's good to document different answered prayers that you've had, because sometimes you get into a crisis and you're like, God, have you ever answered any prayer ever that I've prayed? Right? Everyone didn't feel that, right? But it's like these all remind you, right? Of yes, look at all the times he's been so faithful. And so it's good that you can do a journal of answered prayers. So one of the things I just thought about is just even the Bible in the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament, is a journal. I mean, Moses sat down and transcribed what God was saying to him. Because he transcribed that, because we have his journal, so to speak, we have scripture. You know, if you look at the prophets, Isaiah, they're saying, this is what I said to the Lord, and this is what the Lord said to me, and this is what I said to the Lord, and this is what the Lord said to me. So what we're reading is a journal of people who are really hearing God. Now, our journals are not going to add to scripture, okay? But people had the foresight to write down, they were led by the Holy Spirit to write down what God was telling them. And because of that, we have the scripture. And think about this same scripture is the scripture that Jesus read. It's the same scripture that Jesus read when he was born and walking with the Lord and growing up in his own walk with the Lord, with the Father. He was reading these words. I mean, not New King James, and I'm certain he wasn't reading King James. But anyway, so because people recorded what God was saying, we are privileged to be able to read that today. So how do we steward the word? When God is speaking to us, when we're investing time with him, when we're reading scripture, when we're journaling, how do we steward that word? In Proverbs 4, I read this last week, 20 through 22, it says, my son or daughter, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So it's so important for us to keep the word before us. And it's interesting to me that this talks about, right, eyes, ears, and heart. And if you remember the scripture that says, give us eyes to see, or Jesus said, you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And all of that is contained in the Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 22. So it's just keeping the word before our eyes, our ears, and in our heart. If we go to Mark chapter 4, I want to talk a little bit about, go through these scriptures here, because this is an important way of us stewarding our hearts and keeping our minds on the word. So Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, this word here doesn't just mean the physical aspect of actually hearing a sound. What it means is, in addition to that, it means to actually receive the message. So there's an active part of receiving what the message is conveying when it talks about hearing. So Jesus goes on, and of course the disciples said, please explain to us this parable. And it goes to verse 13. Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So we know, and I'm sure many of you have heard, that this parable is key to all other parables that we hear. And he says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So when Jesus is talking about someone who's sowing seed, what he's referring to is himself and us, right? Sowing the word of God. That word, the sower sows the word, that word means logos. It means this actual word of God. Okay, so the sower is sowing the word of God. Verse 15, it says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we know from this that when he's talking about the ground, he's talking about our hearts. Okay, so the seed is the word of God, and the ground that the word is going into is our hearts. So he's saying that that what happens is the enemy, right? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. So he's always after the word because he knows the power of the word of God. So what is he doing? He's when you're receiving the word, even while I'm preaching here, right? I'm preaching the word and you're thinking about lunch, the long drive home, what someone said to you yesterday, what the conflict you have at work you're going to have to deal with on Monday. Like all that distraction is just the enemy trying to keep you from receiving the word. He's trying to keep you focused on something else so that he can steal the word. When Randy and I were in Bible college, we always sat in the very front row. Because I would get easily distracted. If there's a bunch of people in front of me, I'm going to look and see what that person's doing. So I would sit in the very front row. Both years of Bible college, we sat in the very front row because I didn't want to be distracted. I knew what I would do if I was sitting in the back row. So the enemy, even here, is trying to keep your mind on something else other than what I'm saying. And then when you go out the door, he's going to bring some kind of distraction, some kind of issue, whatever, to try to steal whatever Holy Spirit is sowing in your hearts right now. And so it's important to understand he's always after the word. And so we need to be diligent, right, to not allow that to happen, to keep ourselves focused. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So this is talking about the heart and the stony ground. So a good analogy for this would be when you first hear the word that God wants you well, right? That God wants you to be completely healthy. And so you first hear that and like you're so excited, right? Oh my gosh. And you want to tell everybody, like, God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to walk in divine health. And you start looking at scripture and you're really excited about that. But the issue is in your heart, there has been years of strongholds being sown about, you know, flu season and symptoms and medication and all this belief system has been established in your heart that would be like rocks, okay? And so when the seed goes in there that God wants you well, that's truth, right? But when it tries to go down, the roots try to go down, it's hitting up against other belief systems and strongholds that are still in your heart. And so it can't take root. And so therefore, when tribulation comes, now tribulation is when the word tribulation is talking about, I love this definition, is it's the conflict of the two kingdoms. Okay, and it's the friction that happens when the two kingdoms collide. Okay, so we're in the kingdom of darkness, and we're the kingdom of darkness is here, and we're in the kingdom of light. And so as you're trying to walk in the truth of God's word, all this around you, the kingdom of darkness, is trying to pull you, and you know, your body is screaming, doctors are screaming, you know, the ads are screaming that if you're not taking this medication, you're not happy. You know, I mean, there's all this stuff is screaming at you, telling you the world system, and the friction between the truth of what you know and what the world is saying is tribulation. It's that conflict that's going on between the two. Now, persecution is when someone directly comes at you for your beliefs. Okay, so persecution is, you know, you tell your family, everybody wants you well, God wants you well, and they come against you and don't talk to me, I don't want to hear that, right? So that's when they're coming directly against you for your beliefs. Okay, so what happens is the enemy is going to use, you're trying to stand in truth, and the enemy is going to use circumstances and people to try to steal that word out of you. And if your heart still has those belief systems in it, the seed hasn't gone in strong enough, and therefore it's easy to pull that seed out. So really our job is to make sure we're continuing to sow the word, but also our heart. Our heart is, we're to care for the seed of the word, the heart where the word is sown. So verse 18 says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it's interesting that when it's talking about the stony ground, it's talking about the condition of your heart and the belief systems in your heart. When you have thorns, it's talking about outside of you, right? The distraction is outside. It's the world pulling you out, okay? The distractions of the world. So we get caught up in, you know, whatever the world's telling us, right? You know, I need a bigger car. I need a bigger house. I need more. I need to climb the corporate ladder at work. Not that that's bad, but I'm doing it because it gives me value. All the wrong motives, right? All the external motives, all the external things that draw you into the world instead of the truth of who we are in Christ. And so that's what, and when these are, they're sown among thorns, the ones who hear the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. So it's our internal desires for other things, looking for other things to fulfill us, right? They choke out the word. So the word is sown, the word is in there, right? But all these external desires start choking out the truth of the word, right? And it becomes unfruitful. So verse 20 says, these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it. That word accept means to actively receive. They actively receive it, and they bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So to the degree that we've received the word and we have kept our hearts clear, right, to that degree, the word can go ahead and grow, and from that place it begins to bear fruit. And notice it's not our own works, right? It's the word in the heart that is what that bears fruit. It's allowing it to be in the heart and to grow to nurture it, right? To take care of it, that allows it to grow, and that's what bears fruit. Not our works, but allowing and yielding to that truth is what does that. So let's go on to verse 21. It says, verse 21, Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not set on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is standing there. He's a light. He's not to be under a bushel. And I mean, we're not either. But he's not to be under a bushel. He is declaring truth. And truth is going to be revealed. All truth is going to be revealed, right? But he says to them, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So this is important, and this is why we talk about investing time with the Lord. To the measure that you are actively, because he's talking about hearing, okay? And not just physical hearing, but understanding. And to the measure that you invest in this, to the measure that you're hearing, to the measure that you're paying attention to him, hearing what he says, taking in understanding, to the measure that you invest, it will be measured back to you. You can't outgive God. And so to the degree that you're willing to set time apart, to listen to his voice, to understand what he's saying, to that same degree, he is going to make sure that your investment is fruitful. But if you're receiving and you're not heeding what he's saying, you'll lose your ability to hear. You won't be able to hear anymore. Now, you can get that back. But what I'm saying, and I mean, I've gone through that in my life where I've had seasons where, like, you're really hearing him and then you get some distractions or whatever, and all of a sudden you realize that you're not as tuned into his voice as you used to be. Because with the same measure that you're investing, it will come back to you. So it's important for us to, again, it's tuning into that FM station of him. And if the more we tune into that, the more we receive, the more we understand, and the more we steward what he's communicating to us, that will continue to grow, and your ability to hear him will increase and increase and increase. I mean, to me, that's so exciting because this is a guarantee in Scripture. Like, to the degree that I'm willing to invest, it will come back to me. He's promised me that. And that's exciting. That's encouraging. He said, the kingdom of God, verse 26, is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, we know the ground was the heart, right? Verse 27, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. We don't have to know how the word works. We just need to know that it does. He's told us it does. We don't need to know how it works. It's just like, you know, I mean, science keeps trying to figure out how you can take a little seed, put it in some dirty, muddy conditions, right? And with bugs and everything else, and somehow that seed can start exploding, right? And all of a sudden you have roots going down and you have a plant coming up. How does that happen? It's the same thing with the Word of God. Right? So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The ground is our heart. And should sleep by night, rise by day. The seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So what is the job of the person who's, you know, the farmer who's sowing seed? What is his job? He's responsible to sow the seed, but his big responsibility is the condition of the soil. And so our job is to protect our hearts. Our job is to pull out the weeds, pull out the rocks, right? To tend the soil, to make sure if a frost is coming, right, that we cover the plants, to fertilize them, to make sure they're getting enough sunshine, enough water. All of those things, that's our responsibility, is watching over the heart. I don't know how many times in Proverbs it talks about the diligence of watching over our hearts, right? How do we guard our hearts? By what we see, what we hear, what we understand. The gateways of the world coming in, we want to guard those gateways to protect our hearts. You know, you can be watching a movie and all of a sudden be like, this isn't where I need to be going, right? We were someplace and they had the television on, and there was a commercial for medication, and it was so ungodly. It was so ungodly. I was like, Randy, look at this. And we had to like put our eyes down because it had two men kissing each other and hugging each other. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like we haven't watched TV in so long. I was like, oh my gosh, like what in the world happened? It was unbelievable. We're just like this. But that's how we guard our eyes and we guard our hearts and we guard our ears, right? Those are the ways we protect our hearts and keep the just Proverbs 4:20, right? Keeping the word before us in our ears, in our hearts, constantly keeping that before us, not as a work, but it's you know, at first it may seem like it's a work, but it's not, because this is life. It is life to your flesh. It is life to you. And this, when you begin to realize that, like, you want to be drawing on this. This is real sustenance. This is when Jesus went to the woman with the well, right? And he said to her, you know, I can give you living water. This is living water to us. This is life. And so we have the privilege of being able to listen to the word, wash ourselves with the water of the word, let him wash us with the water of the word. This is the privilege that we have to remind us of truth and keep our hearts towards him. It's such a privilege. It's such a beautiful thing. Verse 30, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So even the smallest seed, which is a mustard seed, right? If it's put into the ground and it's nurtured and taken care of, can grow to a point that other people can benefit from the word that has been sown in your heart. When that's been sown in your heart and you've nurtured it and it's grown and it's become a truth to you, it becomes its own stronghold, right? We can have positive strongholds in our hearts. And this positive stronghold grows, and this tiny seed that we watched over and nurtured in our hearts now comes to a place where other people can take refuge under what God has done in us. And that's a beautiful thing. This is the importance of us being able to hear his voice. Because it's not only for us, it's for us to share with other people. You know, I think about the stewards, right? Where Jesus talks about them being invested with the money, right? They all received the money, the talents, right? They all received the talents. And one received five, one received two, and one received one. And the one that received five, right, he took care of that and he invested that. Right, and as a result, when the master came, he commended him and gave him five more talents. Of course, the one who had just the one, he buried it and he lost that talent. To me, I know that's talking about money, but to me, it's also a picture of the word of God. Because as he entrusts the word of God to us, and we have the ability to then sow it into others' lives, that's what he is not just giving you the word for you. When we were in Colorado and I worked on the phone lines, the prayer lines, I cannot even tell you how many times one morning the Lord would give me a scripture, give me a revelation of it, and it would bless me. It would just be what I needed to hear. But inevitably that day or the next day, I would get a phone call on the prayer line for somebody who needed that same scripture and that same revelation. Right? Because he didn't give it to me. Did he give it to me for me? Yes, absolutely. But he didn't give it to me just for me. He gave it to me so that I could share it with other people. And to me, that's the same picture as the talents. When you're investing time with the Lord and he's sowing into your heart and you're journaling or you're just investing time with him, whatever it is, as you treasure that, as you nurture that, you have something to give other people, right? Even when you're sharing our faith in the Lord, I'm not trying to introduce you to a religion. I'm trying to introduce you to someone that I meet every morning who's with me all day, who's changed my life, right? I just want to share with you this beautiful person that I have a relationship with, right? That's what we're doing. But it comes out of this investing this time alone with him and allowing him to open scripture up to us and allow it to become real, allow it to transform us, and therefore we can share it with other people and transform their lives. Therefore, I'm not just giving you a scripture that I heard, right? I'm not giving you a doctrine. I'm giving you a truth that has been sown in my heart, right? And I can share it with you. And not that we all have a full revelation of every scripture, but the little bit that I do have, I want to share with you because it can transform my life and it can transform yours. You know, when we have, for example, we saw David Hogan. I don't know how many of you got to see David Hogan when he was here this past weekend. And that man walks in some miraculous stuff. I mean, he personally has raised 42 people from the dead, okay? And I mean, he just stands, he says to us, like, my hands aren't any different than anybody else's. Just, it's Jesus in here. So his ministry is responsible for over 500 people being raised from the dead. He literally has seen, he prayed for a young girl who was covered under a blanket because she was afraid to see him. She had had trauma. And he went by. And so all he did is reach out and he just touched her and blessed her, whatever. What he didn't know at that time is that she had no ears and no ability to hear. None. He prayed for her. He later found out that when he prayed for her, not knowing, he wasn't even praying for that. He just was laying a hand on her. Hearing exploded inside of her body. She began to be able to hear even though she didn't have ears. And within the weeks that followed, literal ears grew out of her head. Okay, he has seen people with no eyes, eyes created. He has seen limbs grow out. He has seen legs grow out. He's seen all of that stuff that Jesus told us we would walk in. Okay, now, and he doesn't see it 100% at the time. So he's not even at 100-fold. Wow. But this is real. This is what God has called us to. This is what investing time with the Lord is. But if we want to walk in what God has called us to, you don't get pregnant shaking hands. That's my pastor. Right? I mean, it's investing time with the Lord. You have to get close to him. You have to get to know him. You have to let his word get inside of your heart and transform you. That's the way. You know, we look at these people who are walking in the miraculous and we want to get there, but we're not willing to invest any time or resources in him. And that's what David Hogan has done. That's the only difference, right? Is he's been radical for Jesus. And someone who's radical is just someone who's more on fire for God than you are. that's what we could be radical, right? And again, that's not a work, but it's just that we see people walking in this. Jesus walked in what he did because he had a really intimate relationship with the Father. And that's why things, did he know scripture? Yes. But he knew the one who wrote the scripture. That was the more important thing. He knew the Father. He knew who he was. He knew the Father lived inside of him. And so when he reached out and touched, he had no doubt that it was God in him touching people and transforming lives. But he invested time with the Lord. He invested time with the Father. He set time aside with the Father. He went away from the crowds. He didn't let things distract him. He made sure his heart was good towards the Father. He kept his heart clean, right? He set aside all those things. He didn't let the world come against him or change him. He didn't let the word change him. It's very interesting to me that the word obey is actually, it's two words combined, and it means under or subordinate and hearing. So the same word that is used to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, that word hear is the same word that's used as a conjunction in the word obey. And so what does it mean? It means to hear, to understand, and then come under the influence of that. That's what obedience is. It's hearing the word, understanding the word, and then coming under allowing that to influence your life. And that's what we do when we invest time with the Lord. That's what we do when we read his word, when we set time aside with him, is we're allowing this to influence our lives and bring us into more to greater fullness. I wanted to just finish with this, is that it's really important to understand that this is a process for all of us. You know, I'm not where David Hogan is, right? But I'm not going to compare myself to David Hogan. I'm just going to be inspired by his life, right? And see the walk he has and know that that's possible. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And so I just say that to say that it's really important that we don't compare ourselves with other people. Your walk with the Lord is your individual walk. The way you hear from the Lord is going to be your individual way. And so it's very important that even when you see other people, like I said, you can allow it to inspire you, but you can't allow you it, can't allow it, let it, allow it to put you down, to make you feel like what you have isn't good enough. We were talking about this yesterday with the women's meet at the women's meeting. If you were married and you constantly were looking at other marriages and saying, well, they have a good marriage, and boy, I wish I had that husband, or I had that wife, or I wish that our marriage was like that. And first of all, you need to know that you're just seeing the surface, right? But if you're thinking in that way, right, then how strong is your union going to be? It's going to undermine it. It's going to draw stuff away from it. All of a sudden you're going to despise what you do have. So it's really important that each one of us really invest our time with the Lord, learn how he communicates with us, how we communicate, and treasure that relationship. And I promise you that as you just take what little bit you may have right now, right? Because I know people are at all different places, and maybe you're someone who's just starting out investing time with the Lord, and you think, oh, well, look at this person and that person. You don't go there. You just set your time aside, and you be faithful in what you have with him, and you nurture that, and you value that, and you treasure that. And as you do that, it will grow. God's not up in heaven saying, well, gee, I really wish that that Sam was hearing God like John does. He's not comparing his children up in heaven saying, wow, this one has a great relationship and this one really sinks. That's not the way he looks at it. He looks at your individual relationship with him, and he is valuing that. He's treasuring that. He's encouraging you in that. He's drawing you into that. He values any time that you're willing to stop and turn your gaze towards him. He is just blown away by that. He just loves that. And so it's really important to value what you have and understand that you're in a journey. And sometimes your journey is really messy, but that's okay. That's just part of the process. I can remember when Randy and I went to Bible college. You know, when we got saved, for Randy, it was like he just flipped a switch. Just flipped a switch. For me, it was messy. I was still on fire for God. I wanted everything of Jesus that I could. I love the Bible. I read my Bible all the time. But for some reason, I just was very messy. And for a long time, he didn't even know this, but we would go through classes, and I would be such a mess. I would go through the class. I would get up. I'd go into the bathroom and stay in the stall until the bell rang for the next class. Because I was afraid if someone talked to me, I would just break out crying. And I didn't even know why. But I was messy. And so I would just hide in the bathroom between classes. Randy didn't even know. And I would just come out. So I was just, and I just say that to encourage you, like, there's hope. There's hope, right? Like, you may be going through a season where things are really messy, and that's okay. God's in the midst of your mess, and he'll accept you right where you're at. He'll be with you in the bathroom stall while you're just, don't even know why you want to cry, but you just want to cry. Like, he's in there with you, and he's encouraging you. He's your greatest cheerleader. He's for you, and just even walk through the messes knowing he's faithful. The biggest thing is to just keep showing up. Like, I just kept going to class every day. I was just in class. I read the word. I just kept showing up. I just kept showing up. And that's the biggest thing you can do, is just keep showing up, even when you're a mess. Just keep showing up. He's just happy that you're trying. And like I said the other day, last week, about, you know, the person who was telling me, listen, I have this plexiglass in front of me because people have been very negative towards me about, you know, talking to me about the Bible, and just had a lot of stuff that was put on her, and it created this wall. But she wants to know God. And I was like, okay, can you tell me where the pinhole is? There's got to be a pinhole somewhere in that plexiglass. Like, what are you willing to do? Would you be willing to read, like, okay, you're not willing to read the Bible. Would you be willing to read a book about the Bible? Right? Can I get you like just that much? Can I get you that just that much? And she said, I'm willing to do that. Okay, because I know the word of God. And it's a seed. It's leaven. And we plant even through that little tiny hole, right? Like the mustard seed. If we can just get that through, and she's faithful to just keep going with that little tiny hole, eventually that thing, that leaven will start growing. That seed will start growing, and transformation will happen. And eventually she'll be able to read the Bible. But it's a process. It's a process. And so God is willing to meet people where they're at, right? He was willing to meet each one of us where we were at. right? But it's just all he calls you to is just be faithful to show up. Just show up. And if you do, I promise you, he will bring you to where you need to be. Remember, he is inviting you into this process, right? He's inviting you in. He's inviting you. And we all have the privilege of coming into this place to hear God for ourselves. I think it's wonderful if you can come and to a message or listen to something on YouTube or whatever and be able to say what that person said. But our greatest desire is that you can say, God told me. God told me. I read the scripture and God told me, because that's when it becomes yours, not somebody else told me. Amen? Amen. So Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand. And Lord, teach us how to steward your word well. Lord, teach us to steward this word so that it can grow into all that you want it to be, and that, Lord, we can share it with other people for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.